gospel, surprise, surprise. And I hope you're going to, I believe that God is going to, just as he began to do and he's doing a work, because we took time out to study the book of James, so we are now taking some time out to really study the gospel of Matthew. And I kind of argued with the Lord about it at first, but because I really, you know, prayed for a number of weeks about this, and the Lord said, Matthew's gospel. Okay, Lord. So he doesn't always say why, doesn't always give you the reasons. And Matthew, I would prefer to choose a slightly shorter gospel, but this was the one that the Lord said that we were to study. And it's very interesting. Matthew's gospel is very interesting. Obviously, I think it's the longest gospel, isn't it? How long's Luke? How many chapters has Luke got? 24. So Matthew has 28. But in Matthew's gospel, Matthew was a Jew. He was it's presumed that it was Matthew, Levi, that's his other name, was the tax collector. And he didn't have an awful lot of friends. Well, the friends he did have were probably quite notorious sinners, because he was a tax collector. So Matthew, when he wrote this, obviously he'd become a disciple of Jesus. His life he'd repented, he'd changed. But the tax collector was not a popular person to be in their days, because they worked for the Romans. So they were kind of in no man's land, really, and it was well known that they kept plenty of money for themselves. They took their little top off the takings. And Matthew's friends were sinners, and he would have mixed with other people that love money, and you know, prostitutes and drunkards. You know, all the whole thing. He was probably involved with that side of society. And then Jesus decided to call him and save him. And here we've got this letter or the gospel that he wrote. And Matthew is broken into five parts, and it'll explain this in your booklet. It basically, there's an introduction, which is, we're saying it's Matthew chapter 1 to around about chapter 4. And then you have sections in Matthew's gospel that go the word, and then the things that Jesus did, the word, and then things that Jesus did, the word, and things Jesus did. Five times it happens: word, deed, word, deed, word, deed, word, deed, word, deed. And then right at the end, the last thing that Jesus did was he was crucified for us, gave his life for us, rose again from the dead. And then the last few verses is the conclusion, which is I've put down as Jesus' commission for us to go make disciples. And the most important thing when you're studying the Gospel of Matthew is please, 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 please don't just read it as a Bible study. You say, well, it is a Bible study. It is a Bible study, but don't just read it as a Bible study, but pray over it. Because there's a purpose, there's a reason why God said, I really want you as a church to study Matthew's Gospel. So you'll get the most out of it by praying over, using the booklet, praying over those scriptures, and let the Holy Spirit speak to you about the things he wants to talk to you about as you read it. That, to me, that's the most important thing. And then the other thing, which is very helpful, is we also have, Jeff Tucker has kindly produced lots of, will be producing notes. And these background notes are very important as well, because they give us an understanding of where Matthew was coming from, the context in which some of the things happened. And those notes will be available through your group leaders. Each person that does the study each week will have a set of notes so they can actually glean some of the information. But the goal of this isn't just to fill you with information. The goal of this is that we meet with the Lord through the Word and let God speak to us. And I believe by the time we get to the end of Matthew's Gospel, we're going to be speaking a lot more of his Word, and we're going to be doing a lot more of the things that Jesus did. Okay, that's the goal. That's God's goal, that he wants us to really receive out of the word as we meet together in small groups and enjoy it, won't you? Have fun, discuss, pray, really get to grips with the word of God, but apply it to your own life. So there's application. We want you to apply the word, and there are various questions in the booklet. This is not a rigid thing. We suggest all the groups go through these questions. You go through the questions before you come into your group. And then you can share your findings and so on together in your group. And there will be other questions that will be raised and things that God will specifically talk to you about, perhaps in your group, when you get together. So go with it. Go with what the Holy Spirit wants to do as we study Matthew's Gospel. Is that all right? Is that all clear? Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we just pray this morning that there's something specific you want to talk to us about. And we pray, Lord, that you will really speak into our hearts and change the way that we believe, change the way that we think, Lord, so that we live by the word, that we literally live by the word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask this, Father, teach us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, and then we'll get into chapter 4 in a minute. But Matthew 3 and verse 10, and this is the start, will be a start of a new series of teachings and things, the messages that we have on Sundays. Matthew 3 and verse 10, and it says here, "And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." This was John the Baptist speaking here. And when I was reading this, you know, the Lord spoke to me last night and while I was praying over this, and he said, and this is why it's important when we read the word, get the context, but then ask the Lord what he's saying to you. And he said, all over this nation, my spirit and word is laying the axe to the root. All over the nation, God's laying his axe to the root where there is no fruit. So John the Baptist, basically, his message was repentance. Repent, repent, repent. Repent and turn to God. And he was preparing the way for when Jesus would come because he was the answer to the repentance. And John the Baptist says, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the Lord is looking for fruit. This is why, as a church, we need to be seeking him, because God wants us to be a fruitful vine, a fruitful church. He wants you to be fruitful in your family. He wants you to be a fruitful man or a fruitful woman or a fruitful young person, bearing the fruit of the Spirit and doing the same things that Jesus did, doesn't he? Doesn't he? He wants us to be fruitful people. He wants us to have great weeks where we're bearing fruit for him, and where people's lives are being impacted because of the life of the Spirit that's upon us. And the same is true of churches. God's looking for fruit from churches. And the Spirit was saying, I'm laying the axe to the root. In other words, God's exposing unfruitfulness. And where there isn't any response, I don't know what God will do. But I know he won't just allow things to go on and on and on and on with no fruit. There comes a time when he lays the axe to the root. And God is laying his axe to the root where there is no fruit. And when the axe is laid to the root, we in the church has the opportunity in this season of repentance, of faith, and of letting the Holy Spirit come and really empower us so that we can do the same things that Jesus did and bear the fruit. Does that make sense? And I want you, God is saying, I want to change your hearts and minds. I want to change your mindsets. And he's been saying that to me for a while. I want you to have my mind. I mean, the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ, doesn't it? And the Lord wants us in our weeks, when we're living out, not just on a Sunday morning, but when we live in our week, that we have the mind of Christ, and that we're seeing things and we're believing things the same way that Jesus sees things and the same way that he believes things. We have a changed mindset. Some of you have been through a tough week, haven't you? I know some of you have. And, you know, God's been speaking to me about tough weeks as well, tough days. Sometimes we go through a tough day. Sometimes we go through a tough season. And the Lord says, just remember, I'm in control. Someone said that earlier today. Just remember, I'm in control. So everything that you go through, basically Jesus is still Lord. And he's actually Lord over what you're going through. He is still Lord. He may not be responsible for some of the bad stuff that happens, but he's Lord over it. He has a purpose in it. And how we handle the things that we go through when we're going through difficulties or trials actually determines the outcome of our next steps. So how you handle, how you respond to things that happen in your daily life, because after all, we do live daily, don't we? We have things that happen every day. How we respond to those things determines where we go, where we take our next step with the Lord or not. And in James, it says, count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various trials, tests, difficulties, temptations. Count it all joy. I wonder how many of you, me included, how many of us have found it great joy to have a trial this week? How many of you, whoa, whoopee, another trial, yes, another challenge? Or did we do something different to that? Did we whine or complain or get a little bit negative? Allow the devil to really push us down. I like that word that Simon brought. I hope you received that word that the Lord brought through Simon this morning, because that was a word from the Lord, that we need to put the devil under our feet, hold our head up to the Lord, and that's called walking by faith, and that we keep the devil in check when circumstances come. We need to discern what's happening and take authority. But just remember that the Lord is in control of everything. And how you and I respond to trials and difficulties will determine whether we have a setback or whether we actually have a leap forward. Because God wants these trials and difficulties to be a springboard for moving forward. Stamp on it and bounce forward. Right? Jump on it and jump forward. It's God's provision, actually. It's God's way of enabling us to walk even in greater faith. Amen. That's just a little addition there. I wasn't going to say that, but I just felt that the Lord wanted to encourage us with that. And then Matthew 3, verse 11, John says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me," who's that then? Jesus, "is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and" what? Fire. Just say fire.
Fire.
Just say it like it's
fire.
That's it. Now, on the day of Pentecost, what did Jesus do? What did the Father and Jesus do from heaven? They poured out the Holy Spirit and fire. So the Holy Spirit and fire were poured out on the day of Pentecost. And John the Baptist is recognizing that Jesus, John baptized with water for repentance, but he said, listen, the Son of God, Jesus, the Messiah, is greater than I, mightier than I, of course he is, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And some of us were reminded yesterday that to be baptized, the word baptized doesn't just mean to be dunked or dipped or submerged, or it means all of that, but it means to be infused. And so what God wants us to be today, he wants us to be men and women who are dipped, dunked, submerged, infused with the Holy Spirit. Saturated, dripping with the Holy Spirit. I wonder how many of us are dripping with the Holy Spirit this morning. I wonder if you're dripping with the Holy Spirit. But God wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit, dripping with the Spirit. And he's made a provision for that. He poured out the Spirit 2,000 years ago, so we don't have to ask him to do it again. He's poured out the Spirit. That means there's an ever-flowing, an outpouring that is there for us any time that we want to drink of that river. Does that make sense? And the Lord wants us to be baptized afresh with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The fire is very interesting, because if you go on to read the next verse, it says, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff, or the chaff, if you come from up north. Is that right? If you say it? Chaff? With unquenchable fire. So here we have the Lord showing us that the fire of God is both good for us, because it has a purging effect. That's the fire of God. The Holy Spirit has fire that purges us and cleanses us. And there's a purging going on in the church right now that is a bit uncomfortable, but it's good for us. It's good for us. God's working some good things in your life. If you submit to him, that's what that submission's all about. Let God purge you and cleanse you, purify you, purify us as a church, so he can bring us forth as he wants us to be, as gold, and then the fruit will come. But there's a purging, there's a pruning going on in this church. And God knows what he's doing. It's good. It's a good work. He's only got good for us. He's not got destruction for us. He's got good for us if we will respond in the right way to him, if we'll step out in faith. And we need, if ever we need the Holy Spirit and the fire of God, it's today, isn't it? I mean, just looking at you this morning, I can tell that's true, you know, that we all need a great big dose of the Holy Spirit and the fire of God. And we need to, this is why we need to seek after God, so that the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the fire will be upon our lives in a fresh and a new way. Right, we all agree with that. That's what we need. And the Lord is purging and cleansing us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the key person that we need to recognize who's living in us today as believers, the Holy Spirit. And let's go on now to chapter 4, and we're going to continue to talk about the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, because God wants us to live by His Word. And it says that Jesus, now let's just back up a little bit, when Jesus was baptized, verse 16 of chapter 3, when He had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to Him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon Him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Wow, what an incredible statement. God the Father speaking from heaven. And there was an audible voice that spoke over Jesus when John baptized Him, and He came up. There was a visible, something like a dove descended upon Him. I think it was a brightness, a light, like the shape of a dove coming upon Him. And then it says, this voice said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And He filled Him with the Holy Spirit. Literally, Jesus Himself was baptized with the Holy Spirit right there and then. If you just come with me to Luke chapter 4, just quickly. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. This is the same account, but obviously by Luke. And Luke says here in verse 1, then Jesus, what does it say there? Full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus, being filled, it said, with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. I think in the Amplified Bible it says, and Jesus, being filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Himself needed the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and constantly, actually, that's why He was always disappearing to pray, because He knew He couldn't do anything without the anointing and the fire of the Holy Spirit. So He had to go aside again to receive a fresh top-up, a fresh empowering, so that He knew what was next. So He was constantly seeking the Father and the Holy Spirit, and He had these incredible meetings with God, and we read about one of them on the Mount of Transfiguration. But in those times when Jesus set aside time to pray, the Father would speak to Him and give Him the next step, or the next steps that he was to be walking in. And Jesus was constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. What a great example to us. He was seeking after God, seeking after the Father, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and then releasing what He got, and then going back for some more. It's a bit like you and I at the petrol station, isn't it? Always going back to fill up for some more. Well, that's how it is for us as believers. We've got to go back to fill up with some more, because God wants us to be giving out what we've got, but then we go back and get filled up with a fresh supply, so that we can continue our travel with Jesus and let the Holy Spirit do His work. And it says Jesus was led by the Spirit, verse 1 of Matthew 4, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It's interesting that the Spirit didn't lead Jesus to go to the temple to have a great knees up there, or a praise party, or a prayer meeting. The Spirit led Him into the wilderness, and sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead us into a wilderness. It's not always the devil that does that. Sometimes the Lord does that for a purpose. And this was Jesus, really, this was the preparation test point for the rest of His ministry for the next 3 years. Jesus had to come through this test, this trial, these temptations. And if you read them through and pray over them, you know, God will speak to you and help you. But I just want to focus on one thing here this morning, on a few verses here. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand if you fasted 40 days. I know some people that have. I certainly haven't. I have fasted a number of days, but never that many days. And it says, I love Matthew's language here. It says, when He had fasted 40 days and nights, afterward, He was hungry. I bet He was. I bet He was hungry. What a statement. And he was literally hungry. You know, hunger was beginning to bite in now. And when the tempter came to him, who's the tempter? The devil. The tempter said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Because the devil knew that Jesus had the ability to do that. That it would be a very easy thing for Jesus to do that. And the devil knows a certain amount about you. But he doesn't know everything. He just knows some things. And he watches and takes notes of stuff. That's his limited knowledge. But God knows everything. And Jesus' answer to this, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The devil knows how to use scripture. The devil knows what's written in here, doesn't he? And so be careful that, just be aware of what the word really says. Jesus said to him, it is written. There it is, it's written. So how does Jesus respond to the devil's temptations? What does he do? He quotes scripture, he quotes the word of God, back in this case to the devil. He says, it's written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. So this was a kind of an unusual, it doesn't say how this all happened, but in that moment, this is what took place, and showed him all the world and the glory of these different kingdoms. And he said to him, all these things I will give you. Just remember that Adam had handed the keys over to the devil. So the devil now has a rulership over the earth. So now the devil's tempting Jesus. And he's saying, look, all these things I will give you because I've got rule over them. Listen to what Jesus said. He said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, or be gone, Satan, or get behind me, Satan, for it is written, that's the word of God, it's scripture, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve, because basically the Lord is his Lord over the earth as well. But as far as the world in its sinful state is concerned, Adam lost it to the devil and gave the devil some authority, some control. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to Jesus. I love that. Angels came and ministered to him. Let's just go back to verse 4. And we're just going to focus in on this truth this morning and pray that God will help us. The Holy Spirit, there's two things that we need today. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, or the fire, the baptism, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and we need the Word of God. And the combination of those two things, that's what Jesus had. He was full of the Spirit and he was full of the Word, the Scriptures. He had the Old Testament then. He was full of the Scriptures. So those Scriptures, those truths were living in him. They were living truths living within him. And so when the devil came against him to try and stop him from being fruitful at this early part of his ministry, Jesus' response was, be full of the Spirit, which he already was, and then he addressed the devil's temptation, or addressed the test, with God's word. Now listen, in verse 4 it says, but he answered and said, it is written, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now there's two words, two meanings of the word in scripture. One of them is logos, and the Greek word logos is an expression of thought. We would say that your Bible is the logos of God. It's the truth. It's the expression of all that God has thought and said. And it expresses the truth. In some ways, we can say this is the general truth of God's word. But here in this scripture, Jesus uses the other Greek word for word, which is rhema, chrema, is the correct way to say it, I think, chrema, or we say rhema. And that word, rhema, is a specific word. It's a now word. Does this make sense? Let's read it through. So the devil comes, he says to Jesus, command these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema, every specific word that God has to say about that right now. That's literally what Jesus is saying. He's saying, man will not live by bread alone, but by every specific word from the mouth of God. Okay? You're looking a little bit blank this morning, so shall I explain it a bit more? So, a great example this morning is Tamara's testimony about listening to the voice of God in a particular situation that she was in. And God said to her about this guy who was going to help her get her car sorted out when she couldn't do it herself. Now, that was a rhema word. That was a specific word that God sent to her. It wasn't actually a scripture in this particular case, but it was a rhema word. And so she took that word and she began to pray that word back to God. And sure enough, within a short space of time, hopefully, she got her prayer answered. And sure enough, what God said came to pass because she believed that specific word that God said to her. Does this make sense? I'll give you another example. We used to know this couple, and I've told you the story before about how that she was a Jehovah's Witness. She got wonderfully saved. She was full of the fire and love of God, but her husband wasn't saved. And we began to pray for him over quite a period of time. And then one day God said to me, stop praying for him, start thanking me that he's saved. And I thought, that's a really strange thing to say, Lord. He didn't look very saved to me today. He didn't speak like a saved man today, but God said he's saved. Start thanking me that he's saved. What's God doing? God is bringing a rhema word. God is seeing something a little bit ahead that's about to happen. And so we were praying God's logos word, which is we knew he should be saved. We knew he had to repent and turn to the Lord and be saved. We knew it's God's will for him to be saved. So we were praying in a very general way. But then one day God said, start thanking me that now that he is saved. What was that? That was a rhema word. That was a word from heaven. That was a specific word that God spoke to me and said, start thanking me that he is saved. Your prayers have been heard. Does it make sense? And so I started to thank God and obeyed that specific instruction and started to say, thank you, Lord, that he is saved. And within a very, very, very short space of time, he did get saved. Literally within the next couple of weeks. We've been praying months and months for him. I don't know how long it was. But he got saved within a very, very short period of time because a number of us heard that rhema word, start thanking me that he is saved. So we said, thank you, Lord. We haven't got to pray for him to be saved any longer. He is saved. And that salvation was already on the way when God spoke that word. Does this make sense? Now, what God is saying to us in this scripture, he's saying, you need the Holy Spirit. We sure need the Holy Spirit. And we need to really be full of the Spirit. And part of our difficulty, part of our problem today in the church is that we're not full of the Spirit the way God wants us to be. And because of that, we're lacking power. And because of that, we're lacking drive, life, substance, oomph, motivation. We're lacking that. We need more of that. Well, the only way you can get it is actually you have to receive more from the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes and fills us that way, he also works with the Word. This is why it's really, really important that we get hold of the Scriptures and really get to grips with what the Scriptures say. That's why we encourage you. I encourage you, read as much of the Scriptures as you can. Just read the Word. The Word itself will speak to you. Even if you don't understand all of the bits and pieces, even if you don't understand all the genealogies, it'll bless you just by reading it. I guarantee that God, as you start reading the Word of God, even if you have very little understanding, God will, and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, he will use what you read and do a mighty work through it. Amen? Now, that's not to put aside commentaries and reading up on this, that, and the other, and context. All of that is great as well and really help. But there's nothing that will beat, nothing that can go over what the Holy Spirit himself. And we need to be full of the Holy Spirit And we need to, in every situation that you face, there's a word. Every situation that you go through, there's a rhema word that God has for you, that God wants you to hear. And so Jesus had this incredible ability, because of his prayer life, because of his relationship with the Father, to be full of the Spirit and staying in tune, so that at a moment he would hear, and he would immediately know what the word was for that particular thing. We need to be men and women of the Spirit and the Word, don't we? We need to be living by the power of the Holy Spirit and speaking his word. And if ever was the time, it's today, that we need to be full of the Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, and full of his fire, and full of his word. And you get that by reading the scriptures. By reading the scriptures and understanding what the scriptures say, by reading the Bible and going right through it, right the way through, read a book at a time, and pray over it like we're doing with Matthew, the Holy Spirit will start putting something in your spirit. And then you'll find yourself in Tesco's one day, at the checkout, and the Lord will say to you, that lady has this, what wrong with her. When you speak it, she's going to get healed. That's a rhema word. The Lord will speak to you about, you're going to see someone today, you haven't seen him for months and months and months. That happened to me recently. And sure enough, bang, right there, I bumped into someone that God told me I would meet. Literally bumped into him. No way would that have happened in ordinary situations. What was that? That was a rhema word. And God wants us to live by reading these scripture truths. That's the Logos word, that's what God has written as his thoughts and what's been written down. But he wants us to live by the rhema word, by the specific word that he has for you, for me, for us as a church, to be walking in. Because it's the rhema word that cuts through, it's the rhema word that does the work. Is this making sense? Hallelujah. Jesus said, man will not live by bread alone, but by every rhema word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I don't want to just to read the Bible. Do you? I want to read the Bible and hear God speak to me. I want to read the word and receive a fresh impartation of the Holy Spirit as I read the word. And as we dedicate ourselves afresh today, not just to seek after God, because, you know, seeking after God means to pray. It means to give ourselves to the Lord and to his word. I didn't tell you that last week, did I? But part of seeking God, of giving ourselves to the Lord, means that we give ourselves to really read the word of God and let the word begin to saturate us, renew our minds. And you'll find that God will start releasing his rhema word to you for others. And this whole thing is, it's not just about you. God wants to speak his word to you, so you're clear about what you're doing. You're clear about what you're supposed to do for the Lord and the direction you take. But he also wants to give you his rhema word so you can release that word to others. That's a real blessing, that is. To get something from God and then release it to someone else, or pray for someone else with God's now word. Amen. I wonder how many of us this morning have a hunger for more of the Holy Spirit and more of his word. And specifically this morning, I'm talking about the rhema word, because this is what Jesus was responding with. You know, when Jesus answered the devil three times, he had a rhema word. It was a scripture, but it was a now word. He used the now word that God gave to him to respond to deal with the devil's temptations. Well, we need to do the same thing. When we're tested, when we're tempted, we need to have a rhema word from God. And the scriptures is a great place to get it from, because it's full of truth. God wants us to live by the scriptures, live by the truth that's in there, but he wants his specific word, his rhema word, to be flowing through it, through our lives. You know, when some years ago, when before Claire and I moved into it was the previous house that we had, God gave me a rhema word that we were going to have this house. There was no way that we could possibly get this house. There were lots of reasons why we couldn't. But God had given a rhema word for us to have this particular house. We couldn't afford it. There were lots of reasons why we couldn't get this house. But do you know, God taught me during those numbers of months when we went through this test, really, of whether we really believed God for this house, for our family, a young family at the time. And what the Lord said is, he said, I want you to begin to, this is my word to you. And what I want you to do is start confessing the word. Start confessing that word. So when God gives you something, you start confessing that word. It will be a scripture, it may be a vision, it may be a particular word, a truth that God gives to you. It may be about something to do with a job, work, house, money. But whatever it is God gives you, you start confessing that back to God. You start speaking that word back to God. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, you've given me this. So I count it as mine. And then I began to tell one or two other people about it when I was ready to do that. First of all, I came into faith myself. And then I began to talk to others about it and say, God's going to give us this house. It's going to be ours. In fact, it is ours. It's ours now. I've got it in here. It's in here. It's just a matter of time. Despite all that was being told us, the people in front of us, people, you know, other people put their money down for it, but God said it will be yours. And so we just maintained that confession until it came to pass. And we need to do the same thing. When God gives us specific words, when we're asking the Lord about guidance or seeking the Lord about his way forward, we need to get a word first. Once we have a word from God, and it needs to be a word from God, once we have a word from God, then we need to pray over that word. And that word, like the mustard seed or the peanut, whatever you prefer, that mustard seed will begin to grow into a tree. That mustard seed will grow into, it says that the mustard seed would grow into a great big tree. That's talking about our faith. That as we confess the word of God over those specific things of our life, then it'll come to pass. Amen. But we have to keep confessing the word. The word confess means to speak the same thing. So we need to confess God's word. That means we need to speak the same thing that God has already spoken. That's what a rhema word is. It's a word that God has spoken and we believe it and then we speak it. That's a rhema word. It's a now word. It's a specific word. And God wants us to live our lives by the rhema word of God. That's called listening to God, actually. It's called tuning in to what he's saying to me, tuning into what he's saying to you, and living by that utterance that's come from God's mouth. Does that make sense? God wants to speak to you. You know, it's Christmas all over again. Now, the Lord is saying, when you pray, when you seek me, God has things that he wants to give to us. He really does. He's got things he wants to give to us. And it's a bit like having the Christmas present, but just keeping it like that. And by having this, Alice, can I give this to you this morning? Can I just pass that to Alice? No, you can't. So, Alice, feel free to, it's yours. Happy Christmas. It's a bit late, about a month late, but it's yours. Because I want to bless you with it. Okay, that's yours. Happy Christmas. It's either a late Christmas present or an early one. But just open it up. Just open it up. Now, as Alice opens up this wonderful present that I bought her today, this is like it is for us to meet with God. God wants us to open up things. God wants to open up his word to us so that we take what's in the present, as it were. So often we have our Bibles, but it's like a present that's wrapped up. And God wants us to unwrap it, get into it, and start. What have you got there? Liqueur chocolates. Oh, you know, as we start taking what's inside the present and yumming it all up, eating it up, that's how God wants us to be. And I felt God was saying that earlier. I felt him saying, you know, I've got presents for you. I've got things for you that I'm just longing for you to unwrap them. I'm longing for you to get into my word because I want to speak to you. And you don't believe that I can, and you don't believe that there is a word for you, but there is a word for you. There are words that God is wanting to speak to you today. Words of life. You know, every time I sit down and I listen to God, he always speaks so positively to me about me. I can't think why, but he does. And that makes me positive then. That makes me a man full of faith. And God wants to speak to you words of life. He wants you to get into your present and start unwrapping it. And you'll hear God's rhema word, God's now word for you. Let's stand, shall we? Are you hungry for God's word? I felt this morning that we should actually, I asked Giovanni just to tickle the keyboard for a few minutes. We're just going to spend a few minutes just praying for people that would like to be prayed for, okay? And One of the things that I would like us to do is we're just going to lay hands on you, just a few. I'm going to ask Bob and Jackie to come and help me with this. And we're going to lay hands on you this morning, and we're going to pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will come. He's here this morning. He's here in this meeting. But that he will impart his power, presence and power for you. Because you need it. So do I. We all need more of the Holy Spirit. And if you want that fullness of the Spirit, or perhaps you have never been prayed for to be full of the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, baptized, immersed in the Holy Spirit. If that's for you this morning, you can come forward for that as well. But the other thing that we're going to pray for you about this morning is as we lay hands, the Holy Spirit will come and he'll start filling you. And you just drink it. Just start drinking in your heart, in your spirit. Just start drinking in the presence of God. But the other thing that we're going to pray for, we're going to pray that God's rhema word is going to be a reality to you. That you're going to start hearing. God's going to unblock your ears. You're going to start hearing his now word to you. So the Spirit and the Word, because it's the Holy Spirit that brings words to us, you know, specific words, shows us how to pray for people. That's a rhema word, even knowing how to pray for people. Getting direction. What do I do here, Lord? We have those things happen there probably every day. Lord, what shall I do? Help me here, Lord, like tomorrow with her car. Different things, and God will give us a rhema word. God will show us what to do in terms of reaching people that need to be saved. You know, the power of the Spirit is given to us so that we can be his witnesses. And this is the most important reason why we have the Holy Spirit, so that we can be full of the presence of God and his power and love, but also so that we can then give it away to others. God really wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters. He wants us to be full of him, of his presence, of his glory. He wants his fire to come and continue to cleanse and purge us. That's a good work. That's a pruning work. It's a good work because it will cause us to bear more fruit. So we're going to pray for you this morning. We're going to also pray that the word, the rhema word, God will start speaking to you. And that you learn to live by the word of God. Every day, God wants to speak fresh words of life to you. New directions right through your day. God wants to speak to you. God wants to direct you. He can. You can hear God in that way. It's not weird or it's not beyond you. God wants to speak to you. Just very, very simply. So just come forward if you'd like to receive prayer. And we'll just ask for a few of the men just to... if they can stand with us behind people that we're praying for.